Hi, this is Barry Lissett, Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. Operations research is known for its contribution to business, government, and healthcare, but that contribution is generally associated with helping organizations. As many people who've compared the dreadful wait on a store line with the entertaining wait at a Disney attraction know, OR can serve consumers. It can also serve patients. In today's segment, we talk to Dr. Stefano Zinios of Stanford University and Dr. Constantia Petru. Both collaborate on a website for patients with kidney disease. The site is called connectology.com. Professor Zinios, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Dr. Petru, welcome.
Thank you very much, Barry.
First of all, tell us briefly what connectology is and the role of funding from the National Institutes of Health.
Sure. Connectology is a collection of guides to complex medical treatments. The purpose is to help patients and families as opposed to professionals. And the kind of help that connectology provides to patients is to navigate the gridlock of healthcare and to help them make decisions at critical times of finding, of getting to the treatment that they need.
How did you come up with the name, by the way?
It's connecting the dots.
I see. Okay.
And the role of NIH in this is basically because connectology is based on intense research and scientific knowledge generation, the National Institutes of Health has a program for small businesses that are scientifically driven to fund projects such as ours. And so it's through the Small Business Administration that we got funding for connectology.
So it's both the Small Business Administration and NIH?
It's under NIH, the Small Business. It's a Small Business Research grant that
I see.
Is under NIH.
Okay, I think I've got my government programs straight now. And what kind of patients is the website intended to help? Is it for people just on dialysis? Is it for people awaiting a transplant? Is it the whole general group?
We are targeting all complex medical treatments. As I mentioned before, it is a collection of guides. The kidney transplant guide that we recently launched is obviously targeted at kidney patients at the end stage of kidney disease that need a kidney transplant, but that's only our first guide, and there are others that are following that will be coming out.
So you're talking about a range of patients with different conditions who could come to you, not only, as you say, people with kidney problems, but people with cancer or heart disease or the full range of illnesses.
Yes, correct.
And how did you come up with the idea for connectology?
Oh, well, it actually started personal. My father had an accident, and he became paraplegic, and we had to go through the nightmare of getting treatment for him and care. And it was quite ironic because I was in the medical sciences for all of my career up to that point, and I felt lost, even though I was in the field.
Right.
So all the information that we needed was just impossible to find, and maybe I'm on the other end of the spectrum. As a scientist, I needed facts, and so I started to think maybe other people are, maybe I'm not so unique. Other people may need facts, too, to make decisions, and where are these facts? How do you make decisions? At the initial stages, we interviewed other patients with complex, with need for a complex treatment, and I found out that they were in the same need of high-quality information on the facts, and that's how we decided to go ahead. And, of course, Stefanos has been in the quantitative field for a very long time himself, so we thought we could pull our expertise together and our knowledge of the patient side from the personal perspective and come up with something useful.
Let me remind our listeners that this is A Science of Better with Barry List of Informs. Our guests today are Stefanos Zinios and Constantia Petru. They're discussing the website connectology.com. Dr. Zinios, how do patients look at analytical tools like the ones that you've developed? Are they intimidated by them?
I don't think this particular tool, they are intimidated by it. We have spent an enormous amount of time making sure that the tool is designed in a very user-friendly fashion. And if I would rewind back when Constantia and I started discussing this tool, I come from the very hardcore analytical perspective. So if you would ask me to design what a tool would look like, patients would indeed be intimidated by that.
The reason I ask, I should say, is that the two of you wrote an article and you quote a study that warns that patients often perceive analytical tools as overwhelming.
Yes. And what we learned in the research that we did and in the testing that we did for Connectology is that there are some basic key principles that if you follow them, you can make these tools much more user-friendly and much more comfortable for patients to use. And the evidence that we got from the user testing is that patients are actually comfortable using Connectology the way we developed it. But it involved a lot of iterative back and forth and testing with the users.
If I may interject here, Stefanos, Barry,
sure.
If you don't mind, that the key to making the quantitative tools non-intimidating is not to focus on the tool, if you will.
Right.
It's to provide the context and what, and then the tool becomes a medium, a way to get the answers that people want. And we take great time and put a lot of effort into positioning what we do in that context. So the focus is not the tool. The focus is the problem that the patient faces, and now there are some tools that can help you. And within the tool context, then once the patient is convinced that the tool is here to help, then the key is to use language that is understandable by the patient. So, for example, whereas professionals like to use the word survival, survival is extremely scary to patients.
I would think.
Yes, it implies that there is death. So, and if you put it in a different context, in how long patients live after a treatment, or how many patients live for this period of time, it's a little less scary.
You want to encourage patients, you want to give them hope, and look at the best possible outcome that they can hope for.
Exactly.
If I were a patient on dialysis and my doctor told me I needed the kidney transplant, at what point should I turn to your website for help?
Right at the time when you are told that you need a kidney transplant. And with chronic conditions, a lot of patients are told rather early in the process that they will need this procedure. And so it is actually was studied that the moment a patient is told by their doctor that they need a particular treatment, the first thing they do is go on the web and search for information. And up to this point, in the absence of Connectology, the only information that people could find and understand were other views of what a kidney transplant is. Not that there is no place for those. There definitely is a place for that type of information. Lots of people need that. But where do you go after that? After you get that basic idea of what this treatment that my doctor recommended is, and I do have a sense of what I'm about to go through, now I need to know what are the steps to actually get there. And for the decisions that I need to make, I need some help that my doctor doesn't necessarily have the time.
And you mentioned steps. The website provides several steps. And what are the steps for patients that you outline on the homepage?
Okay, we can focus on kidney transplant because we customize every site to the actual treatment. So for kidney transplant, the steps are to first find a good transplant center, a center that has experience with the treatment and has proven success with it. The second step is to get a referral from your doctor to the center that you and your doctor decide together is the best one for you. Next step is going through the evaluation process, which can be rather long. It can take 3 months or even longer for some patients because there's lots of tests that need to be taken and lots of medical establishments that need to be managed in the process. Finally, you get the decision of whether you are on the list or not if you don't have a donor. And then the other step that we outline on the homepage are not so much steps, but they're mostly to provide context and goal, outlook. One is the doctor journal. It's a way to help the patient keep the doctor in the loop and keep connected to their doctor throughout the process, because no tools can stand alone.
And the doctor journal is making entries that you share with your doctor?
Yes, and you can print the journal and bring with you so you can make that communication easier. And you can also store any files or tests or information on medicines. You can store all of the information that you may want to keep track of and monitor throughout the process because things get lost.
And we know that the healthcare system is still not very good at sharing information online.
That's right. And the doctor journal is not designed to share it online because there are some trust issues here and some privacy concerns. And the doctors are not already set up to make this sharing seamless. It's mostly for the patient to keep track of everything, and then they can print what is relevant and bring it with them at the doctor's appointment. Then the other step that I outline is success, and that's to help patients keep their eye on their goal, which is how to get the most successful treatment possible. And we give specific facts on how to understand success success that is relevant to your own situation, such as your age or, in the case of kidney transplant, the donor that will give you the kidney.
So that's very customized and very specific and not just speaking in a general way.
Right.
Your website also has a 5-star system for hospitals. Dr. Zinios, could you tell us a little bit about that? What are the 5 stars and how did you develop it?
So we prefer not to call them stars. We call them five categories. So we classify them in 5 categories. And actually how it all aggregated and presented in the website, it boils down, these 5 categories boil down into 3 categories, which we call them best, good, and fair. So how we reach these categories, we used advanced statistical techniques to analyze data on all transplant procedures performed by every transplant center in the United States. And then we calculated what is called standardized outcomes adjusted for differences in the characteristics of the patients using Bayesian statistical techniques. And we considered 3 outcomes that through our interviews with patients and our interviews with doctors, we learn of the 3 outcomes that this population cares about. The one is how long the patient lives after a transplant, how long the kidney functions after a transplant, and whether the patient recover after surgery without any complications. So you get 3 standardized outcomes for every transplant center, and then we used optimization modeling to aggregate these 3 measures into the 5 categories that I have described, And the optimization came into the picture to make sure that these categories can prospectively predict future outcomes. So hospitals that are in the top category, they have statistically better outcomes in future years, even when the category is developed using past data.
Who keeps this data? Is this from the hospital associations?
This is the data are reported by hospitals to the federal government, and the federal government provides the data to us.
You wrote a short paper on the scientific basis behind the website, and you mentioned three keystones of operations research and analytics, namely the descriptive, the predictive, and the prescriptive components. Could you explain a little bit about those in reference to this website?
Yes, I will do that. So if we start with the descriptive, so that's where, so we are using this advanced analytics to come up with a description of the outcomes at the different transplant centers. And then the contribution and one major innovation here is the data visualization methods that we have used and developed to provide that information to patients. So if I would go back to your earlier question whether patients find that information intimidating, we spend a significant amount of time in patient testing to find the data visualization methods that would be understandable for the patients.
Uh-huh.
So it's how do you describe what you get from the analytics? How do you present the data? The predictive is the data that we are presenting predict future outcomes. So that's where we have used optimization and statistical testing to actually demonstrate that the hospital classification we come up with data over a given period of years predict outcomes for transplants performed in these hospitals in future years. The prescriptive, you want all these data, so in an ideal world, you would want people to use this data and act upon that information. So because we have the website that we have launched and we can track in a de-identified way how the users interact with the data, what we have discovered is that the vast majority, I think almost 100% of the users who use the website start by focusing on centers that are near them. But once they see and they understand the information we provide to them, they quickly navigate towards a list of top 20 centers. These are the centers with the best outcome. And they spend most of their time focusing on those centers.
So it's interesting. First of all, they look at the convenience of getting treatment so that they can go back to their own beds and recover from the treatment. But then they realize that there's incredible importance to knowing the best available, and you provide that to them.
Exactly. So that's where all the three elements of successful analytics come into the picture here: the descriptive through the data visualization, the predictive analysis using past data predict future outcomes, and the prescriptive where users are using this information to expand their choice set.
Our guests today are Stefano Zinios and Constantia Petru, who are discussing ways that kidney patients can make decisions about their care. And you mentioned that you tested the website with subjects before you went live. Tell us just a tiny bit about how you tested it and who the subjects were.
Yeah, so, Constantia, why don't you take this? Because you spend most of the time with the testing and you can provide more insights.
We recruited patients through physicians to test. We had about 30 patients testing the system and went through rounds of previous prototypes before we actually finalized to the site that you now see launched. And, of course, it's a never-ending process. It's continuously improving because the most important information you get after the site is live. But the testing process was really putting the patient in the driver's seat, presenting them with a functional prototype because patients do not like to bother with static things or drawings on a piece of paper. They like to actually interact with it, and that's how they give you the most feedback. We have them interact on one-on-one basis, not all in the same room, because we wanted them to feel comfortable. In fact, we were not in the room with them. Intentionally, we decided to do it long distance and watching them remotely, just to give them the comfort that they could just tell us anything that they wanted to tell us as they navigated through the prototypes. And we presented them with several ways of seeing information, and just had them talk out loud and share their either frustration. We heard comments from frustration. What's this telling me? I'm not understanding it. To, oh, now I get it. So we had a range of comments across different ways of visualizing data, and we analyzed all the comments and settled on the site that you now see launched.
Dr. Zinios, I know we spoke years ago about work you did related to the weight a patient has to have before they receive a kidney. I think this was related to research for UNOS, the United Network of Organ Sharing. What kind of research are you doing in this area right now? Is it still an area of interest for you?
Yes, it remains an area of interest. Before I answer that, I have to say the obligatory statement that Stanford asked me to say in cases like these. The work that they have done at Connectology is work that they have done outside my Stanford responsibilities. I actually took a leave of absence to work as part of the NIH funding. And because, as you know, in academia, we have some consulting time where we have this opportunity to work on practical and applied projects. So now if I go back to my research program at Stanford, I continue to focus on the development of advanced OR models as they can be used to study complex, dynamic, stochastic problems in the healthcare domain. I'm working with a PhD student. She's graduating this year, where we are analyzing using mathematical models several proposals for changing the organ allocation system, and we're trying to understand what the implications of those proposals are going to be on patient outcomes and costs. And one of the papers that Annie, the PhD student, wrote was actually the second prize winner for the Nicholson student paper, where she described how a particular proposed change in the organ allocation system would create incentives for patients and doctors to start on dialysis earlier. And we presented the results to the United Network of Organ Sharing, and they took that into consideration, and they have redesigned their proposal based on the findings from that type of work.
I know it's very hard to convince UNOS to adopt research since it's coming from all sides, so I would assume that you're very proud that this was accepted.
I am. It's a little bit sad. It's easier to convince them not to do something than it is to convince them to do something. It's a very conservative field. So if I look back into the quote-unquote successes of some of the research that we have done in this domain, is in finding the unintended consequences of some proposed changes, and then people not changing something, no, as opposed to telling them change things and make a move in a positive direction. It's an interesting observation, very conservative field.
Dr. Petru, last question. You mentioned earlier that you're not only serving kidney patients with Connectology.com. Could you tell us about some of the other kinds of patients signed for help?
Not yet. I can tell you about the areas that we are developing sites for, but they are not available yet for patients to visit at this point. They are still in development. The next area is dialysis, very related to kidney transplantation. And then beyond that, we are developing sites for other treatments in cardiology, gastrointestinal treatments, as well as orthopedic treatments.
Before we go, please give us the name of the website again and spell it so that our listeners can visit the website.
It's connectology.com, spelled with a KONNECTOLOGY.com.
And we'll have that website on, that URL on our own website so people can click through.
Great, thank you.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Dr. Stefano Zinios of Stanford University and Dr. Constantina Petru of Connectology.com. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Science at Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more about operations research and this series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.